Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, March the 18th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for all that you give us and for all that you teach us day by day. And as we continue our study, we ask that you would fill us with understanding, that our lives might be filled with truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we will continue to take a look at our studies from the book, The Bible Made Plain, which was published in 1922 by Review and Herald Publishing. Now, of course, in the last sessions, we've taken a look at the inspiration of the Bible. We've taken a look at the origin of evil. We've studied the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, and the conversion and baptism. And the last session, we took a look at the great image of Daniel 2. Now today, I want us to begin to take a look at the four beasts of Daniel 7. Now this particular study will be a little bit more exhaustive, and we may have to do this in two sessions, but we'll take a look at it and see how far we get today. As I said before, we've looked at inspiration of the Bible. We've studied the origin of evil. And if you go back to the 12th, you'll find that that's where we began these studies. The 12th of March, inspiration of the Bible. 13th, the origin of evil. 14th, the plan of salvation. The 15th, conversion and baptism. The 16th, the great image of Daniel. And of course, today we're looking now at the four beasts of Daniel 7. That would be the fourth beast, four beasts of Daniel 7. Now, in the 17th, we reviewed all of what we had studied before. And so today on the 18th, we're looking at the four beasts of Daniel 7. Let's begin. One experience came to the prophet Daniel in the first year of Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1 says, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. So, that's what happened. He had a dream. What did the prophet see in this dream? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 2 says, Behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. What was the result of this strife, these four winds? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3 says, Four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. So now he sees in his dream the four winds of heaven striving. And the interesting thing about it is he sees them coming up out of the sea, which means that these nations are coming up out of peoples and populations and places that are filled with individuals, and they're the four winds of heaven striving upon the great sea. And four great beasts, says Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3, came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So what did these four beasts represent? Daniel 7 and verse 17 says, These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now notice the word kings here, as in Daniel 2:44, denotes kingdoms, as explained in verses 23 and 24 of Daniel 2, of the seventh chapter also. The two words being used interchangeably in this prophecy. So when it says four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, we're talking now about the four kingdoms that shall arise. Alright? What did Daniel ask of one of the heavenly attendants who stood by him in his dream? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 16 says, I came near unto one of them that stood by me and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. Alright, so he's gotten this dream now, all the way back in verse 1. And he sees four winds of the heaven striving upon the great sea in verse 2. And we're in Daniel chapter 7. And the question is asked, what was the result of this strife? And verse 3 says, four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. Were not the same beasts with the same kind of attitudes and agendas? What did these four beasts represent? Verse 17 says, these great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And then we noted that kings here denotes kingdoms. And of course, the two words being used interchangeably in this prophecy. All right. Daniel then asks the angel standing next to him, what does this mean? Verse 16 says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. All right. So now he's getting the interpretation directly from the angel that is standing next to him. All right. In prophecy, what is represented by winds? Well, winds represent strife, war, and commotion. And you can find that in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. That winds denote strife and war is evident from the vision itself as a result of the striving of the winds. And it describes kingdoms rising and falling. So, what is represented by winds? Strife, conflict, war, commotion. What in prophecy is symbolized by waters? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1 says, the waters are people and multitudes and nations and towns. And of course, you find that in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15. So, he sees these beasts coming up out of the sea, coming up out of populated areas, multitudes, nations, etc., etc. What was the first beast like? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4 says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That's Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4. All right, so that first beast is a lion with eagle's wings. Now, of course, the implication is so strong because, you know, lions are powerful beasts and eagles are strong birds. And, of course, it says that ultimately he stands as a man and a man's heart was given to it. The lion represented Babylon. The eagle's wings doubtless denote the rapidity with which Babylon extended its conquests under Nebuchadnezzar, who reigned from 604 to 561 BC. So that was quite a ruling period of time. By what was the second kingdom symbolized? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 5 says, behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Note, this was the Medo-Persian Empire, the successor of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians are compared to a bear on account of their cruelty and thirst after blood, a bear being a most voracious and cruel animal. All right. Now that's really powerful. So now you've got the two beasts. The first one is like a lion, stands up ultimately with the heart of a man. And then the second beast is like a bear. And he is really a terrible, terrible, scary thing. Cruel, thirsty after blood, extremely aggressive. All right. By what was the third universal empire symbolized? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6 says, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. That is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6. If the wings of an eagle on the back of a lion denoted rapidity of movement in the Babylonian or Assyrian Empire, four wings on the leopard must denote unparalleled celerity of movement in the Grecian Empire, which followed the Medo-Persian kingdom. This we find to be historically true. The beast also had four heads. The Grecian Empire maintained its unity but a short time after the death of Alexander, which occurred in 323 BC. Within 22 years after the close of his brilliant career, or by 301 BC, the empire was divided among his four leading generals. Cassander took Macedonia and Greece in the west. Lysimachus had Thrace and the parts of Asia on the Hellespont and Bosporus in the north. Ptolemy received Egypt, Lydia, and Arabia, Palestine, and Syria in the south. And Seleucus had all the rest of Alexander's dominion in the east. So it is easy to see why that third beast had four heads. And of course, the four heads represents the four divisions of the kingdom after a while had passed by. All right? Okay. Alexander had died then. How was the fourth kingdom represented? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." That fourth beast is found in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. This is allowed on all hands to be the Roman Empire. It was dreadful. It was terrible. It was exceedingly strong and became, in effect, what the Roman writers delight to call it, the empire of the whole world. So now we've got those four kingdoms there, right? You start off with the lion, and that lion is very strong. Ultimately, he stands up like a man, and he is given the heart of a man. And then you've got the bear. Bear is incredibly strong and aggressive in every detail of his life. And then you've got the leopard. And finally, you've got this nondescript beast, the fourth beast. And notice how it's described. "After this, I saw in the night vision," in verse 7 says, "and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." The final overthrow of the Greeks by the Romans at the Battle of Pydna in 168 BC. What was the fourth beast declared to be when that overthrow occurred? Verse 23 says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces." So now this Roman Empire is described as the fourth beast upon the earth. He is diverse from all the kingdoms that have gone before him. He has the power to devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. That is tremendous. What was denoted by the 10 horns, or under the head of the fourth beast? Daniel chapter 7 verse 24 says, "The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise." Remember now, that's Daniel chapter 7 and verse 24. Now the Roman Empire was broken up into 10 kingdoms between the year 351 and 476 AD. The historian Machiavelli without the slightest reference to this prophecy, gives the following list of the nations which occupied the territory of the Western Empire at the time of the fall of Romulus Augustus in 476 AD, the last emperor of Rome. Here's the list. The Lombards, the Franks, the Burgundians, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Vandals, the Heruli, the Suevi, the Huns, and the Saxons, 10 in all. Now, of course, what you need to understand is, of course, that that is a description of modern Europe. All of those nations exist today, named differently, but they still do exist today. Amidst unceasing and almost countless fluctuations, the kingdoms of modern Europe have, from their birth to the present day, averaged 10 in number. They have never since the breakup of old Rome been united into one single empire. They have never formed one whole, even like the United States. No scheme of proud ambition seeking to unite the broken fragments has ever succeeded. When such has arisen, they have been invariably dashed to pieces. And of course, you see the same thing happening now again with Brexit. They're trying to get it back together again. But there's one part of them that want to divide from what is now known to be the European Union. What change took place in these horns? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8. Now, we're talking about the horns in the fourth kingdom, in the breakup of the kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8 says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. So what change takes place in these horns? One particular horn comes up, a different kind of horn, and he has eyes like a man, and a mouth speaking great things. What inquiry on the part of Daniel shows that the fourth beast, and especially the little horn, constitutes the leading feature of this vision? Verses 19 and 20 says, Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, and he broke in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. So now you notice Daniel wants to know, what is this about? When was the little horn to arise? Verse 24 says, And another shall rise after them. So after these 10 horns come up, then this little horn is to arise after that. The 10 horns, as already shown, arose when Rome, the fourth kingdom, was divided into 10 kingdoms. This division was completed in 476 AD. The little horn power was to arise after them. What was to be the character of the little horn? He shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings, says verse 24. The power that arose in the Roman Empire after the fall of Rome in 476 AD, that was entirely different from all the 10 kingdoms into which Rome was divided, for it demanded and exercised spiritual power over the other kingdoms, and before whom 3 of these other kingdoms fell. That horn was the papacy. That's who it was. And of course, you notice now that we've gotten from the lion to the bear to the leopard to this nondescript beast that is very difficult to describe with 10 horns. And out of those 10 horns comes this little horn that we hear in our study today describes as the papacy. Now, we will continue this session, this lesson, in our next session, because we don't want you to grapple too much with it and not understand it. So remember today, what did we look at? We're looking at Daniel chapter 7. And a quick review here. We took a look at the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. The lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript beast. We saw that they were, each one of them had a specific kind of personality. And as we come all the way down, piece by piece, we come down to the last one that we dealt with today. That little horn that comes up amidst the 10 horns of that last, that fourth beast. That is the papacy. What a powerful lesson that we're having to look at today. And as you look forward to the next session, I want you to know that God is going to show us even some more amazing things from His Word. This is not going to be some sort of opinion expressed, but one of the reasons why we do these studies and have decided to do these studies is so that we can become acquainted with what the Word of God says. And the questions that are asked will be answered from the Word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings as we continue to study day by day. And today, as we continue to take a look at the greatness of your Word and all of what you have given us, we pray that you will fill us with understanding so that our hearts might respond to the truth that you are giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been Morning Manna, March the 18th, 2021.